The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Think about this way, all right? We'll pick on the ladies to start with, all right? Sometimes the weather doesn't make your hair cooperate, right? Mm-hmm. All right, the weather is, in a sense, your enemy. Oh, I got to go out and it's going to make my hair frizzy. Everybody says it. I know you say it. Makes my hair frizzy, this weather, and it starts kinking up and just does things I don't want it to do. And all of a sudden you see a TV commercial that says, hey, guess what? We've got some new hair products that will put you in a superior position against the weather. And you can go out in the most humid weather out there and your hair won't do what it normally does. This product will put you at an advantage in a superior position against the weather out there, right? For me, sometimes they get me through things, different types of hunting equipment. All right, you watch a hunt show and a commercial comes on and says, guess what? There's a new bullet. There's a new bullet. It shoots faster. It shoots flatter. It's more accurate. It doesn't kick as much, blah, 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 blah. And if you'll shoot this new bullet, it'll put you in a much better position than your old raggedy bullet. Maybe it's not bullets, maybe it's who knows what. It could be makeup, it could be a car, it could be your phone, it could be your shoes. Almost every product that we buy, clothes, oh, this one you don't have to iron, this one lasts longer, this one whatever. Almost every product that we deal with, the pitch to us is this product will put you in a superior position against the things like weather or, the drag of a bullet or whatever it may be. So the word advantage is something that we're very familiar with. An advantage puts you in a superior position. Now, in Romans, the third chapter, there's a question raised. And it says this. It says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Now, I think that's a pretty valid question. I'm not a Jewish person, but I want you to think back through the history for just a second. This is in Romans, the third chapter, the question, what advantage hath the Jew? So think about this. Way back in the Old Testament, and I've gone through this before, so I'm not going to beat a dead horse here, but the Lord calls Abraham, and out of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the Lord creates a nation, and he calls them the Hebrews. They're the Jews. They're the Israelites. And he tells these people that I'm going to be your God, and he gives these people a specific set of laws and ordinances and the way he wants them to operate. Now, they're not the only people in the world. You've got Hittites and Perizzites and Jebusites and Canaanites and Moabites and Ammonites and Malachites and all kinds of ites that are out there. But it is the Israelites, it is the Jewish people that God says, here, this is how I want you to act and behave and operate on a day-to-day basis. Now, the law that was given to them, the Bible tells us the law was a good thing. The law was holy. The law was righteous. You find at times it's described as a yoke of bondage. Why would it be a yoke of bondage? Well, the law does to the natural man what a prison cell does to a criminal. Criminal doesn't want to be in the prison cell. And those prison walls close in and that door shuts and he feels caged in and he wants to go. Well, the law is like that to the natural man.
Right.
Because the natural man doesn't want to be told what to do. He doesn't want limits set. He doesn't want boundaries. He wants to go and do and to feed his own belly and follow the lust of his own flesh. So in that sense, the law was bondage when the perfect holy law meets somebody, even a born-again child of God, who has a sinful nature inside of them. To a degree, it feels like bondage because I'll never be able to keep this entire law. Why? Because you're sinful. And you're going to break it at some point. But the law here is described as a good thing. Now, I want you to imagine the Jew there that gets this law and says, okay, wait a minute. Listen, go back through and read Leviticus. It's exhausting to read it. Just how all the things they have to do. I want you to think about the sacrifices. All right, Jewish people, here's your sacrifices. Here's how you got to do it. Here's what you can eat. Here's what you can't eat. Here's how I want you to do this. Here's the rules about this, the laws about this. We just do all these things. Now, imagine that you're a Hittite out here. And you're looking at you're looking at the Israelites, the Jewish people, and you're watching them. And you're like, look at them. Look at them sacrificing animals. And look at them, the way they sprinkle the blood. And they can't do this on a certain time. And they've got to do this a certain way. And, that's just it's exhausting to watch them do those types of things. You know, and if you think about the pagan nations of the world, if you do some reading on it, a lot of times the things that they say their false god wanted them to do are in direct opposition of what God told His people to do. The things that we do these types of things to honor our God are the very things that God said that type of thing dishonors me. So they would have stood over there and looked at the Israelites scratching their heads saying, I don't get it. And the Jewish people probably, if they're anything like me, probably stood there and says, I don't get it all the time either. It is difficult. It is hard. Now, time passes. And what we read about in the New Testament, we read Simeon when he's in the temple. When they lay baby Jesus in his hands. What a way to go, right? The Lord says, you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. And he has a burden that day to go to the temple. And he goes, and here he comes. And they lay baby Jesus in his hands. You know what he says? He's going to be a light to the Gentiles. Hold the phone a second. He's going to be a what to who? A light to the Gentiles? No. This is the King of the Jews, right? He's not going to be a light to the Gentiles. So already these Jewish people probably begin to think, what in the world is he talking about? He's going to be a light to the Jews. A light to the Gentiles. It shouldn't have been that way. This was prophesied back in Amos that he was going to bring a people out of the heathen. Okay? So, the Jewish people begin to hear things. All of a sudden, Peter gets a vision, and Peter all of a sudden is preaching to Cornelius, who is not a Jew. Cornelius rejoices. Cornelius' household rejoices. And the Jews are in an uproar because the Jews realize, all of a sudden, it's not just the Jewish people. That he's got a people in every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. It's not just Jews, it's Gentiles too. Now, if I would have been back then, I would have said, you mean to tell me all that time that we walked through the wilderness and we had all these laws and we did all those sacrifices and we were under that yoke of bondage, all that time we did those things and there was you had people among the Canaanites and the Hittites and all those people all this time, but we were the ones that had to follow this law? I would think it would be reasonable to say, what advantage was it for us to have that law? What advantage was it for me to be a Jew? And that's the question raised here. It says, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? And the question is answered immediately. He says, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. You see what he says there? Your advantage was because you had the law. You're saying that you were at a disadvantage by being a Jew. God's Word says you were at an advantage. You were in a superior position because you did have the law. When all the other nations out there, even though there were people, God's people among those nations, you had the advantage, not the disadvantage. You had the advantage because you were one of those that received God's law. And I want to look at that for just a minute. In what way did God's law put them in a superior position? What you will find many, many times with God's law, as I go through a few of these, that God's law wasn't necessarily there to give the cure for things. God's law was given to these people to prevent certain things, to prevent them from getting off into a lot of trouble. Now, just an easy example here. You know, the Lord told them that on the eighth day, I want you to circumcise your male children. The eighth day. Now, he said, why the eighth day? Why do we got to do all that? This is just to show you the Lord knows what he's doing. The Lord knows what he's talking about. Now, remember, this is before hospitals, this is before all types of supplements and all the types of things. We've had four children. I've watched them as soon as they get them. They lay them, they clean them. They start putting stuff in their eyes and they start doing all kinds of stuff and giving supplements and all these types of things. They didn't have that back then. All right? If you were to circumcise a child on the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, the child probably would have bled to death. Mm. All right? Because your body needs vitamin K. Your vitamin K produces what they call prothrombin. And prothrombin is what causes the coagulation process. Right? When you're an infant, you don't really have that. When you're a newborn, you don't really have that. Now, why do they circumcise before they now? Because they can give you vitamin K supplements. But they couldn't back then. Does anybody want to take a guess when your vitamin K exceeds 100% of the body's normal value on day 8? Now, don't tell me the Lord doesn't know what he's doing. So on the eighth day, the human body produces the highest level of vitamin K that it'll ever have compared to its body weight. Plenty to produce the prothrombin, plenty to produce coagulation. So all these little Jewish boys, they didn't bleed to death. The Lord didn't just arbitrarily pick day 8. He knows what he's doing. Okay? Now, think about this. In Leviticus, the 12th chapter, I'm just going to give you the summary of a couple of these. In Leviticus, the 12th chapter, the Lord gives a law to them, and he says this: if a woman has a child, depending on if it's male or female, both of them had certain amounts of times, but if it was a male or a female, said that woman has a child, there's a period of time where she is considered unclean. There's a period of time where she doesn't need to go out, she doesn't need to go touching anything, she doesn't need to be doing this. As a matter of fact, he says, you're not supposed to touch any hallowed thing, and you're not supposed to go to the sanctuary. Now, what do we know today? That we know that when you have that little newborn baby, their immune system is not what it needs to be. You know that there's a period of time where that baby doesn't need to be exposed to the diseases and all the bacteria and the viruses that are in this world. Well, you don't think the Lord knew that? The Lord says, listen, when you have a young child, you keep them. Don't even bring them to church. Don't even bring them into the sanctuary. Keep them, separate them. It was like infant quarantine because the Lord knew that baby needed time to develop his immune system, right? Now, keep thinking this. What advantage did the Jew have because he had the law? Number one, the children didn't bleed to death. Number two, their infants had time to develop their immune systems. You know that the Lord has certain restrictions about blood, issues of blood, man or woman, whatever. And not just issues of blood, different body fluids, saliva, all types of fluids that come out of the human body. And if you had some sort of issue like that, that you know you couldn't touch certain things, if you did, that became unclean. If you went inside of the bed, that became unclean. And whatever you touched all these things, you became unclean. Now, every 2 years, Sister Karen's here, she asked, she knows, every 2 years, to maintain my license, I've got to sit through 2 hours of infectious disease control. We talk about bloodborne pathogens. We talk about all different types of diseases that come from where? The fluids of the body. So, we have to clean a certain way. We have to sterilize a certain way because your blood has certain diseases in them. Your saliva can carry certain diseases in them. There are all types of bloodborne diseases that we carry at times. Now, these people made me think, I don't know, I've cut my arm here, and I can't get it to quit bleeding. But God's law says I can't go down here and do this. I wish I could just wrap it up and change my bandages as I go. God's law says I'm unclean. What did God know? God knew there's some diseases that go around in your blood, and if you get up and you start strolling that blood from here to kingdom come, that you're going to infect everybody else.
Right.
You're going to contaminate everybody else. The Bible also tells us, and I mentioned this a couple Sundays ago, you know, they didn't have sewer systems back then. But when, as it's been said before, when nature called and nature does what it does to your body, that there you had to go outside of the camp, you had to dig a hole and let nature do its thing and then bury it. Do you know how many diseases are caused by poor sanitation?
Mm-hmm.
Plagues. Terrible things that happen because we have poor sanitation. But God said, listen, we're not going to do that here. My people, now the Canaanites and the Hittites and all those folks may do it, but my people have the advantage over all those diseases because I'm giving them instructions to keep them from catching it.
Right.
By making them go do these different types of things. You know, it goes on and on and on. You know, they weren't supposed to eat fat. You know, what will a medical doctor tell you today? The fat contributes to stroke, heart disease, high blood pressure, all manner of stuff. You don't think the Lord didn't know a little bit about how those things affect the body? He also tells them that if food sits out too long, you're not supposed to eat it. Well, obviously, there's an indication there that somebody might have gone over there and picked up something that sat out too long and eaten it and got some, who knows what kind of, you know, toxins or whatever. The Lord also had in His law provisions for the poor, which I wish we would follow today. I've heard Brother Tim say it's not welfare, it's workfare. He says when you go out and you clear your fields, don't get the corners. Let the folks that don't own the field, let the folks that don't have a means to plant and harvest, leave it for them, but you're not picking it and harvesting it and getting it ready and preparing it, crushing it and forming it and taking it to them. You're just saying, here it is, come get it.
Right.
And work for it. But the provisions were left. Now let me say this. I could go on and on. I don't have the knowledge of the Old Testament law. I don't have the time if I did. But I hope I'm giving you just a few examples of an advantage that the people of God had in the Old Testament because they had the law. They were probably spared from wiping themselves out through the diseases that come from poor sanitation, from bloodborne pathogens, from all kind of infectious diseases that were out there, because if they followed God's law, they remained clean, and it prevented them from catching all of those things. And I said, what in the world does that have to do with me? Well, that's the Jewish people. And that's the Old Testament law. But guess what? When we get to the New Testament, listen, the Lord redefines a Jew. The Lord redefines who a Jew is. You need to pay attention. It says in Romans 2:28, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose phrase is not of men, but of God. That tells me a couple things. That there's more to a Jew than just your background. That also tells me the circumcision of the heart can in no way bring praise to men. Because it says, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So God takes a man and he circumcises that heart, and that person is born again by the Spirit of God. And listen, the Jews would be receiving this saying, you mean to tell me that all those pagans out there, that you had a person, you had people in all of those nations, Canaanites, Hittites, and all of those people, and they're considered a Jew because of what you did in here? Yes. It tells us this, that if you sit there this morning and you feel a love for the Lord and a desire to know Him, and you feel broken over your sins and you see the need for your Savior, that means there's been something done to your heart. And it wasn't that you gave it to anybody.
Right.
It's that He reached His hand down and He circumcised your heart. And in this sense, He makes you a spiritual Jew. Now, in the same way that the Jews in the Old Testament were at a great advantage and had a superior position over all the nations around them, I submit to you this morning, because of God's Word, we can find ourselves at a great advantage over the things of this world. Now listen, obviously the diseases are still there and all that stuff, and our medicines have come a long way, and you can be a God-hating, filthy heathen, and you can still benefit from some of those practices today. But you've got a corrupt heart inside of you.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. You've got a wicked heart inside of you. You've got wicked hearts in the people around you. You live in a corrupt, fallen world. There are many things in this life that are against you, that want to destroy you, that want to drag you down and stomp you in a mud hole and laugh at you as you lay there in your sorrow. I don't know how you feel, but I want an advantage over them. I want to put myself in a superior position to when those things, my own filthy, wicked heart comes after me, that I've got an advantage against it when I go to fight it, that I've got the upper hand, I've got the high ground. Now, God's Word tells us some things in this, that will save you in this life and time from the terrible things out there that want to destroy us. He gives you an advantage. You know, I could go on and on about it. What about this? You know, the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. You know that? What that means is don't keep bad company. Don't keep bad company. And it tells us, it does not say evil communications might corrupt good manners.
Right.
It says, matter-of-factly, they will corrupt you. I grew up with some kids, and I've even probably said it myself, and said, it doesn't matter who I hang around. They don't influence me. That's hogwash. The Bible says they do.
Right.
It does matter who you hang around. You go hang around somebody that doesn't love the Lord, that doesn't put the church in high reverence and doesn't spend time in His Word, and rather go out and do all the things in the world, and they talk filthy, and they think filthy, and they act filthy. Hang around them long enough, they will corrupt you. They will.
That's
it's
right.
Not a question. We don't have to argue about it. It's settled that they will affect you. Now, do you want an advantage over that? Do you want to have the high ground over that? Do you want to be in a superior position? Because it's tempting, because guess what? Wicked people can be fun. They can. Wicked people can be fun, and we can be tempted to want to hang around them. But the end of the matter is this. You become like them. You will carry their sorrows, and you will drink the nasty, bitter waters of life that they are drinking. Hang around them long enough. We have a tremendous advantage as God's people to know that He has said, listen, you will become like the people you hang around. Let's hang around people that love the Lord. Let's hang around people that love the church and love to read His Word, and you may not think that they're all that fun. I think we're pretty fun. You know, we can act a fool if we need to. If you get you to smile, we'll do that. Okay? In a godly way. You know, the Bible also tells us that you're going to reap what you sow. My goodness. I go out and plant a corn seed, you know what I expect to get? Corn. If I go out and plant watermelon seed, I expect to get watermelon seed. If you go out and you sow seeds of the flesh, And what I mean by that is you sow seeds and you act and you live in such a way that glorifies this world. When it comes into harvest, it will squash you.
Amen.
It will destroy you. But if you plant things of the Spirit, the Bible tells us you will reap of the Spirit. And I can't tell you, listen, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, we can argue about this a lot of time. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes that time and chance happens to them all. It says, as fish are caught in a net, birds are caught in a snare, time and chance happens to them all. You know why sometimes bad things happen? It's because we live in a fallen world.
Amen.
Those fish, those birds, you know what they're doing? They're doing what fish and birds do. They're not being evil or wicked. They're not. They just got caught up in it. And the Bible says time and chance happens to them all. So there can be times that some bad things happen, but for no reason at all. But for the majority of the time, especially young people, listen, for the majority of the time, you get what you have planted. Your marriages will become what you planted them. Your family life will become what you planted. Your friendships and your relationships with your people will become what you planted. And listen, I can tell you from experience, but I can also tell you from observation that many, many, many times there is a direct correlation between how much somebody spends time in God's Word in the church and how many problems they have. I guess it'd be inversely proportional. You spend a lot of time in God's Word and in His church, they don't seem to have as many problems. But you flip it, people that just ignore God's Word and they just say, there's no advantage to that. All it does is take up my time. They've got my problems to the mountaintop because they chose not to take advantage of God's Word and see the advantage in God's Word. You read what you sow, you know, the Bible tells us a lot about the strange man and the strange woman. It tells us a lot about the angry man and the angry woman. You can go on and on and on about the things in the Bible that says, you better stay away from this. You better stay away from this. Stay away from that. Don't stay away from this. Pursue this. Follow after this. Study this. Listen, if you never pick it up, guess what you've done? You've taken one of the greatest advantages that a child of God has got, and you've thrown it under the pew over here, and you've said, I'll direct this. I'll drive this boat. I'll fly this plane. And I'll do it how I think I want to do it. Well, guess what the problem is with that? Your biggest enemy's right here. And it'll lead you astray. It'll send you down the wrong path. And you'll say, oh, but this must be love. Oh, this person just makes me feel like I'm on cloud nine. This must be love. I can't wait to take their hand in marriage. And then a year later, boom, you say, what have I done?
Right.
I'm sorry if that stings a little bit, but that's true.
Yeah.
You say, what have I done? Well, I don't know, but I can tell you what you probably didn't do. Probably look at the advantage of God's Word, because it says there's a safety in multitude of counselors. How many counselors did you see? I'm not talking about the ones with degrees on the walls. I'm talking about the ones that know you the best and love God. That's the counselors I'm talking about. There's all types of things in this Bible that give us a tremendous advantage.
Amen.
Against the corrupt world, against the corrupt heart. The Jewish people, they probably sat there sometimes and they probably thought, why in the world if I got to go dig a hole outside the camp? It's 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm tired, I don't want to have to do that. Why can't I just dig a hole out right here? Since God knew what He was talking about. God knew if everybody starts doing that, you're going to wake up in the morning and the plague is going to be over all of you. You're going to be sick and dying with diseases that we don't have cures for yet. See, the Lord knew that.
Mm-hmm.
You may look at this sometimes and say, Lord, I don't understand why I've got to do this. I don't understand why church attendance is important. Lord, I sit down and study. It's time consuming. I don't understand why that's important. Listen, the Jewish people didn't understand why some of those things were important, but it saved their life. You may not understand why you have to look for a certain thing in a husband or a wife, but you will one day. Now, one of the longest chapters in the Bible is Psalms 119, as I close here. One of the longest chapters in the Bible, Psalms 119, the entire chapter is in praise of God's Word. Alright, here's a brother that sat down and wrote this that knew a thing or two about God's Word and the advantages of it. Let me just read you a few verses here. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to what? Thy Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the Israelites, a lot of that, the laws they were given were laws of cleanliness. Here it says, how's a young man going to cleanse his way? The Bible says, Thy Word is the light, a lamp unto my feet, the light unto my path. And listen, folks, we are all walking down that path. I'm raising children to walk down that path. I'm trying to lead a household to walk down that path. I'm trying to walk down that path. I want to look down my path, and I want to see a clean path. I already know it's straight, and I know it's narrow, but I want to see it clean. I want to be able to walk on that without getting stuff all over me and get my feet scratched up and get dirty. How do I do that? By taking heed to thy word.
Amen.
He also says in verse 18 here, I'll close with this, it says, open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now listen, opening your eyes does not make them wonderful. They're already wonderful. But this brother said, Lord, help me to see how wonderful they are. And I give you this last bit of advice here, especially for young people. Brother Tim has talked many times about some of the biggest decisions you'll make, who you marry, where you work, where you're going to live, and some of those things. Listen, I understand that we want to keep up with I understand that when everybody starts to get married, you want to get married too. I understand when everybody's doing this, and this, that there's a tendency to want to do this, and this.
Yeah.
Listen, wait.
Amen.
On the Lord.
Amen.
Take advantage of the Word of God He has given us.
Yes.
Read it. And study it, because you may very well, in your own power, be able to keep up with everybody else. But as time passes, time will reveal whether or not you took advantage of this word.
Amen.
What advantage have you much in every way? Because unto them were committed the oracles of God. We've been given the oracles of God in that New Testament. If we'll follow them and we'll listen to them, we can save ourselves from things we don't even realize are out there giving us.
Okay,
I hope that's been beneficial to you.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.